Over from Gaza through the Rafah crossing into Egypt with the ICRC, as well as two foreign nationals. So two more than were expected.
So far, four-year-old Abigail Adan's the only American freed. Her aunt spoke to CBS News.
Please, somebody can just wake me up from this nightmare. I couldn't believe what happened to us. And when she came back, it was, I think, the first time I could do like this.
The U.S. is pushing for another extension on that deal. And BBC reporter Hugo Bachega says the longer it goes, the better.
This morning, smoke was seen in Gaza's sky, but the truce seems to be holding. On the ground, desperately needed aid is finally getting in. Still, it's not enough.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. This year's gun deer hunt in Wisconsin is going down as one of the safest ever. Only three people were shot the entire 9 days. Warden Michael Weber credits safety education efforts and enforcement in the woods.
We're going to use the best data that we have to continue to reduce those incidents, prevent those incidents from occurring.
The harvest was lower than last year's by more than 17%. Experts say this year's season was a few days earlier than usual. There's more than $2 million in grant money in Wisconsin to help mental health services for veterans. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is accepting applications for three grants. 16 Wisconsin nonprofits got about $650,000 in the last round. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. It's Giving Tuesday, a time to lend a helping hand to those who need it. Here's Brittany Merlot with some tips from the BBB.
Before you give today, the Better Business Bureau has a few tips to make sure that you're giving to the right place. Remember to always double-check the name of the organization, make sure it's correct, and find out where the money is going. However, if gift giving doesn't make the budget, giving blood is another great way to help someone in need on this Giving Tuesday.
Granite Peak announced they will open for the season this Friday, December 1st. Their hours this first weekend will be 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., December 1st through the 3rd. The ski hill made the announcement yesterday after perfect snowmaking temperatures took over. They'll have terrain available off Comet, Blitzen, and Blizzard, including a terrain park. You can pick up your season passes starting midweek. Their office will be open from 9 to 5. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Badgers with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In college hoops, Wisconsin with a win in Madison, 71-49 over Western Illinois. At 5-2, how's Wisconsin doing so far? Head coach Greg Gard.
I think we're getting there. I think we're a little more consistent, especially on the defensive end. I thought we were decent defensively tonight. It was the offensive rhythm that we just couldn't get a rhythm.
NFL, the Bears beat the Vikings without scoring a touchdown. Chicago winning 12-10. In Green Bay, the Packers getting ready to host the Chiefs. Jordan Love got his first start against them, his rookie season. When Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID, Green Bay lost 13-7. Matt LaFleur.
It was one of those deals where we came in, I think on Wednesday morning, we found out Aaron was going to be out and Jordan was going to be in. And we should have, instead of just riding with what we game planned, but we should have had a better plan in place for some of the potential issues that were going to come up.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 17 tonight, under cloudy skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 37 tomorrow, mainly clear. Lows around 23 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Hello, this is Melissa Kay with WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. I am here at Aspirus Riverview Lights of Love. The parking lot is slowly filling up. We've got people arriving. We've got cookies out here, so you need to come up and grab a cookie for sure, and because there's so many to choose from. I bet you if you stick your arm out and flag, somebody will come and ask you what you want as an order. Yep, Lisa's giving me the thumbs up. So if you don't want to venture out of your car, she will happily bring you
some choices of cookies. We're having fun down here tonight talking about Lights of Love and this wonderful event that does so much for our community. And now I'm excited to have with me Paige Jackin. She is the sixth grade teacher at Rams, and she was in charge of a fun essay contest on giving in the community. Hi, Paige.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know, I was surprised. I thought I'd be a lot colder than I am, but it's not too bad out here if you're dressed properly.
Yeah, definitely. Just make sure you have some extra gloves and some scarves and hats when you come on down.
Yes, it's very helpful. Those layers, you know, we live in Wisconsin, and it's an important thing to have layers for sure. So tell me about this contest.
Yeah, so this is a contest that we open up to all of the sixth grade students, and they all have the opportunity to write about what giving in the community means to them. So we all take some time, we brainstorm, we do a lot of fun activities just to get those thoughts flowing about how they can write and share what really it means to them to give to others.
And just for those of us who don't see sixth graders every day, remind us the age range here.
Yes, so the sixth graders are 11 and 12-year-olds.
Okay, and how many sixth grade classes are there at Rams?
We actually have them split. So there's four English teachers, and all of the kids are split up between us four English teachers for their English language arts classes.
Okay, so how many years have you been teaching, Paige? Because I have to say, you strike me as a young woman.
Yes, this is my fourth year teaching.
Wow. So what got you interested in teaching?
I've always, I remember growing up just playing with my sisters, and we would always play school. So it just kind of naturally went from there. I have a lot of strong teachers that are in my family that I had to look up to. And it just was kind of a natural progression for me to become a teacher as well.
And is Rams your first school that you've taught at?
Yes, I graduated in 2019, and from the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. And then I started my first year teaching the fall of 2020 at Rams.
Oh, wonderful. And I'm so glad that you're here with us. Tell us a little bit more here. I've got how many years, do you know how many years the sixth graders have been participating in this event?
This is the third year that the sixth graders from Rams are able to participate in this contest.
And then the contest, you said you give them the option. So this is an optional thing that they want to participate.
So what we actually do is we have it be an assignment so that all of the kids get to participate. And then once they have their essays written, then they can let me know if they would like me to submit their essays. So then it's kind of a choice there. And if some of them maybe are a little too nervous, we encourage them. They read them all in front of the class, and the classmates help encourage them as well to submit their writing.
That's wonderful, because then it's as an assignment, because that's a good assignment, learning about what giving is in a community, and a great thing for 11 and 12 year olds to experience. But then to give them the option of if they want to submit it or not, that's wonderful. And then so this contest in helping them, how long do they have to work on this?
So usually we take about one or two class periods, and we do a lot of the brainstorming, different activities, just talking about what giving means and all of that. And then they have about a week of time to write it. And while they're writing it, we're doing other things as well. But they have a week to write it, polish it, edit it, and then make it ready so then they can share it in front of the class and then go on to submit it for the giving writing assignment.
Wonderful. And then when they have that process that they're going along with, do you help them, give them pointers on the polishing, or are there any peer reviews that they do throughout the class?
Yeah, definitely. So in sixth grade, they definitely work a lot in partners, in small groups, and we go through all of the different steps of the editing process just so they can start getting their feet wet on how that all works and how it works in the middle school setting.
Wonderful. And to just jump back here a second. What was sixth grade what you wanted to teach when you graduated?
When I graduated, I'm trying to think. I did student teaching in early elementary and in sixth grade, and I really loved both of them. And it just so happened that a job position opened up in sixth grade, and I love it. And that's where I'll be for the foreseeable future.
That's great. Oh, it's always good to love what you do. It makes it less of a job and more of a like excitement to go to work every day. How many students do you have?
I have about 75 students, and it's always a great time. Sixth graders are amazing, and we have a lot of fun with all the learning that we do.
Wonderful. And is it, you said you're an English teacher. So at sixth grade, and sorry, I did not go to public schools as a kid. I actually attended a one room schoolhouse when I was in grade school. So I had one teacher for every subject. But is sixth grade when they split and they have multiple teachers?
Yeah. So at RAMS, they come from all of the different elementary schools in the area. And then sixth grade is the first year that they are with all of the sixth graders in the district, and they switch from class to class throughout the day.
Is that a big transition for them? Do you think that that's just, or is it just part of the stepping stones as you progress through school?
Yeah, it's definitely part of the stepping stones. It's new for them to come, but RAMS is a great place and the kids love it and they love coming to school. So it's really cool to see those fifth graders become sixth graders
and see that regression. Oh, that's so great. Well, I definitely am appreciative. Tell us a little bit, because give us a sneak preview of who we have coming to join us later.
Yeah, so we have four of the students that were chosen from RAMS. We have Micah, Ada, Vivian, and Mason, and they all did a really great job. Each one of their writing pieces is a little bit different of a format. Some are stories, some are essays, and it's just really cool to see all the hard work that they put into this.
And then when you said that you give them the option to submit their essay, how is that process then? How do they get chosen?
So then that goes to the board and the committee for the Love Lights. And then out of all of the essays that we give them, they go through and then they pick their top four.
Wonderful. And that's a great learning experience for the students as well, to have that excitement of submitting something and then to be chosen. So really looking forward to speaking with them later. Are all four of them coming tonight?
Yes, all four of them will be here.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you for joining me, Paige.
Thank you.
Oh, we're having so much fun down here at Lights of Love at Aspirus Riverview Hospital. You can join us here in the east, or parking lot number one. I keep wanting to say east parking lot. But join us in parking lot number one, where we are hanging out. We got people in their cars listening in radios where they're nice and warm. We have a whole large selection of cookies that were donated by Solaris, and we're very appreciative of them for donating those. They also made a donation to the Lights of Love Foundation, and they are committed to making Central Wisconsin a great place to live, work, and do business. Well, it is a little bit chilly. The wind has died down, so it's actually not too bad out here. I'm getting thumbs up from people out there listening. We've got people eating cookies. We're having a good time. So come down and join us here at Aspirus Riverview Hospital in parking lot number one. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Todd Alma Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say it, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power, our veterans.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What is over the back fence? Let's say you have a
3-piece children's luggage set,
or a
7-quart digital air fryer,
or a
2019 Cadillac
for sale. Just call up 424-2600 on Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Describe your item and wait for the calls to roll in. It's your on-air bulletin board only on WFHR.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 17 tonight, under cloudy skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 37 tomorrow, mainly clear. Lows around 23 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Hello, this is Melissa Kay with WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. I am here at Aspirus Riverview Hospital for the Lights of Love ceremony. We've got people pouring in. We've got people walking around getting cookies, and the cookies look amazing. So make sure you come on up and get them. There's multiple boxes and kinds to choose from, and I even see some in reserve. So we're not going to run out anytime soon. I have a new guest here with me now. This is Amber. Hi, Amber.
Hi, everyone.
Amber Holmes, correct?
Yes.
And you are the care coordinator here at Aspirus Riverview Hospital. Explain to me what that is.
So I would help with any discharge planning that yourself or your loved one would have at the time you get discharged. So whether that's home health, rehab somewhere, I help navigate that next steps for everyone.
So this is after you've had a procedure or after you've had a surgery or something along those lines?
It could be after any hospital stay. It could be if you're in the ER needing anything. It could be sometimes we get needs from the clinic. We just are your support team when you have any discharge obstacles that you need to navigate through. So you're not alone in that process.
That's wonderful. So if you have follow-up questions or something isn't feeling quite right, or you have another appointment that you need to go afterwards?
Well, we help just delegate who would be doing that and setting up those needs for you. Sometimes it is just an overload of information when you are here at the hospital for any reason. And so it's just having that person to help be that go in between to help be your advocate in that sense.
Okay, so a support system for you as you're navigating this, whatever you had done and what needs to happen afterwards.
Yeah, and connecting you to community resources or programs that would be a benefit to you, or directing you to the Aging and Disability Resource Center when we know that we will anticipate needs ahead of maybe what you're thinking in the moment, just to help set you up for success in the future.
Because as you said, when you're going through something like that, there's a lot of information thrown at you all at once, and some of it you don't necessarily understand. And if you don't have anybody there with you to help take notes, or I know I was that for my mom when she was going through care at a hospital, and to have that other ear there and know you're not alone, that's wonderful.
Yeah, even insurance. There's a lot to just know what your insurance covers, and that can be hard on its own. So we will help with that understanding.
Now, there you just said the golden words. We will help you with understanding insurance coverage. That's amazing, because that can be such a trial to navigate on your own. So tell me, this is, you said, your first year here with Lights of Love?
Yes, it is. I've been a part of this hospital for a very long time, but my first time at the event.
Wonderful. And you said that you're one of the care coordinators. Is there a whole team of you?
Yes, I cannot do this alone. So I have a wonderful team that helps me and across our region. So we are working together to support you, whether you're here or at another Aspirus hospital within our region. So we have a really great team that helps. Absolutely.
Yeah, that comes together and can support you. I know that there is it, I want to say 17 locations, but I could be wrong. How many, maybe that's counting clinics and hospitals. But I know that we have quite an extensive Aspirus system here in the state.
So for my case management, our region services five different locations that we work through. But of course, we support the clinics and all those other extra, areas of need as needed.
Wonderful. You know, I'm really excited about the amount of people that we have here tonight. There is such a crowd gathering. Thank you for speaking with me tonight, Lisa.
Thank you.
And we will hear from you again later because you are part of the program that's starting at 5:30, correct?
I am. Thank you.
Thank you for talking with me, Lisa. Oh, we're having a good time. Amber, I'm sorry. I'm getting confused because I got Lisa here and I got Amber. Amber, I'm so sorry. It's Amber. You know, she is so sweet. She just answers to whatever. But that was Amber Holmes. And she is the care coordinator here at Aspirus Riverview. And as she said, if you have any questions, she is more than happy to help you navigate what you've got after your care that you've received here, or if you have questions. So we're grateful to speak with her. We're having fun out here. People are gathering out here in front of. They're coming up for cookies. So make sure you come up and grab a cookie. And we're excited. Soon we're going to have the choir here to sing for us. And we've got our young sixth graders to share their essays that they wrote from Paige Jackin, the sixth grade one of the sixth grade teachers, in that essay contest on giving in the community. As she said, there were four different teachers that participated in that in the essay contest for the sixth graders. We've got Cindy Bates and Janet Elkin that are the choir directors for Grove School. We got the third through the fifth graders are going to be here to sing for us. And we will be starting our program here soon. We're going to take one more quick break before we head to that. And then we'll be starting our program at 5:30. Is that correct, Lisa? Yes, that is correct. So we are here at Aspirus Riverview Hospital for Lights of Love. I'm Alyssa Kay with WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Meet Ingrid. Fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Are you surprised to learn there's an international business on Main Street in Nacoosa? Jacoby Custom Cues calls billiards one of the most popular recreational activities. It should know more than 3,000 cues are produced there every year. Jacoby started with 2 employees in 83 and now has more than 24. For locally grown radio WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 17 tonight, under cloudy skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 37 tomorrow, mainly clear. Lows around 23 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening in the lane?
Hi, this is Melissa Kay with WFHR. We're here at a Spiros Review with Lights of Love. I'm going to do a quick interview here with Janet Alekna. She is one of the choir directors for the lovely bunch of students we have here waiting to sing for us. Hi, Janet.
Hi.
So tell us just briefly here what's going to happen when these kids sing.
Well, you're in for a treat. This is the Grove School Choir, and it's a mixture of 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders that stay after school to learn the songs and get ready to perform around the community. And they're really excited to be here this year.
Oh, I bet. So this is an after school thing. This is even takes a little more dedication to be in this group.
It does. And they were thrilled, excited, and most of all when they heard they were going to be on the radio. That was just fantastic for them.
Oh, wonderful. And I know that your Cindy over there is passing out instruments. We've got kids are dressed up in costumes. So if you're not here, you want to be here to hear this. What are they going to sing for us tonight?
They are going to sing Up on the Housetop, and they're going to sing the Chipmunk song, and then We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Oh, wonderful. I'm impressed. That's a good number of songs. What instruments are they playing?
They have wood blocks and something called a slapstick and some jingle bells, of course.
And some jingle bells. Wonderful. Well, I'm going to send you on over there to get ready with the kids. I'm going to talk with Brian quick, and then we're going to start with the kids singing. Hi, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know, I'm warmer than I thought I would be, so this is a good thing. So it's Brian Keefe. Did I get it right?
You did, yes.
And tell us who you are.
I'm the president here at Aspirus Riverview Hospital and Clinics.
Oh, it's very nice to meet you, sir. So I'm going to hand the microphone over to you and let you get going with the program here.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. And I have a few written words, but thank you with the light. That's what I need. So, good evening, everyone, and welcome, of course, to the 2023 Aspirus Riverview Foundation Lights of Love Tree Lighting Ceremony. As we just discussed, I'm Brian Keefe, the president here at Aspirus Riverview, and it is my honor, obviously, to open the ceremony tonight. Now, I will tell you, this is only my second time at this ceremony, but throughout my career, I have experienced many ceremonies like this. And I just know how special these ceremonies are to everyone. And we do have the Riverview Hospital Auxiliary to thank for establishing this tradition over 20 years ago, a tradition that is now championed by all of us, this entire community. And that's, to me, what makes this ceremony that much more unique. But first, let us recall that we are gathered here to remember and honor those who have had an impact on our lives and on our community. The lights are a symbol of this remembrance and a symbol of how our loved ones are alive within us and within future generations when we take these moments to keep that memory and that spirit alive. You know, when I began my leadership at Aspirus Riverview Hospital, I was quickly impressed by the sense of community I felt amongst the team of dedicated caregivers. And you know what's interesting is it didn't stop there. I felt that same sense of community wherever I went. I noticed it in coffee shops. I noticed it in restaurants, at the grocery store, at the gas station. I mean, literally everywhere I went. We are so fortunate to have the Aspirus Riverview Foundation to proudly carry on the Lights of Love ceremony. And we're equally fortunate to be surrounded by the communities we serve. Communities like the one I just talked about, that truly know what it means to be a community, but also be in community with each other. Because it is the support from all of you, the community partnerships, and the foundation that we can make a difference in the lives of those facing health challenges. Our community partnerships and last year's proceeds from this event directly support local community-based programs focused on substance abuse, substance use, behavioral health, food systems, and cancer needs. Because of you, the Lights of Love tree will shine brightly throughout the holiday season. Our loved ones, those who came before us, who established this strong sense of community, will live in our memories. These lights serve as a reminder to honor them by living our lives based on the example they set for us. I now invite you to join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Let's give it up for Brian. Thank you for joining us today and giving the opening. So now we're going to hear from the students. We're going to head over this way. I'm going to just bring another microphone with me. Here, I'll give this to you, Janet, and it's a little, so grab, okay, you pull and I'll hold that. All right, we're going to set up here to hear the students. They are the third through the fifth graders from Grove School, and we're going to hear them sing. We've got a number of selections here, and I'm just going to get a little bit closer, and we're going to let you take it away.
Santa Claus, down through the chimney with lots of toys, all for the little ones' Christmas joy. Ho, 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 who wanna go? Ho, 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 who wanna go? Up on the housetop, click, 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 down through the chimney with good Saint Nick. First on the stocking of little Nell, oh dear Santa, fill it well. Give her a dolly that laughs and cries, one that can open and shut its eyes. Ho, 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 who wanna go? Ho, 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 who wanna go? Up on the housetop, click, 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 down through the chimney with good Saint Nick. There's a talking of little Bill, oh dear Santa, glorious Phil. Here's his a hammer and that's a text.
Wonderful job. Yes, give it up for them. Woo! All right, great job. All right, and now we have another song.
Cheer. We've been good, but we can't last.
Nice job. Wonderful. All right. Thank you so much. You guys did a wonderful job. Let's give them another round of applause.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Conversation about Brian Stile, the congressman.
Congressman Stile to you, sir.
Central casting Stile? He does look like the stereotypical congressman, at least Republican Stile. But Stile claimed on immigrants voting in a local D.C. election is mostly true, but not unprecedented. Now, what Stile said, let me read the quote here. One of the perks of being a citizen in voting in local elections, but recent election cycles have put regulations under scrutiny. One such regulation has caught the ire of Republican Congressman Brian Stile, who represents Wisconsin's 1st District. On September 28th, Stile was speaking at an event of the Rippin' Society of Elections, and his proposal, the American Confidence in Elections Act, easy for me to say, which could change the guidance the federal government gives states on elections. It would also change who can vote in Washington, D.C. in local elections. At the Rippin' Society event, Stile said, here's the quote, Dom, Washington, D.C. allows non-citizens to vote in the upcoming 2024 elections under current law. That's municipal elections. Think of the mayor of Washington, D.C. That means, just to give you an example of how crazy I believe this law is, an individual who's a Russian national, a Russian citizen working at the Russian embassy after residing in Washington, D.C. for 30 days, can walk out of the Russian embassy, have their Russian passport in their pocket, walk down to a voting location next year, and vote for mayor in Washington, D.C., and they don't even need to show their ID to do it. Then why the Russian passport? But just setting that aside. So that was Stile's statement. And the PolitiFact decided to take a closer look, Dom. So anyways, here's the point. It's mostly true. DC has decided that in municipal elections, local elections, non-US citizens are allowed to vote as long as they've established residency of at least 30 days. And I think it's a pretty good damn idea. I think people should, even non-citizens, be given the right to vote in municipal elections. A, those are the local elections, and one must presume even some non-citizens are property owners. They work. They pay taxes. Whether or not our Republican friends want to acknowledge that, that happens all the time. So I'm for this, Dom. And I would point out, Brian Stale, you know, how hyperbolic could you be? Well, what about the Russians from the Russian embassy? You didn't have a big problem with the Russians when they were helping your buddy Donald Trump get elected. Although I find it ironic.
Well, and it's Canadians and Europeans and everybody else. I mean, it's not just Russians. All right, Curtis. So let's get to it, because I don't necessarily agree. Let me ask you this. You think it's proper and fine if they do it in local elections?
Municipal elections, I think the local municipality should be able to set the standard for themselves.
Okay, but why stop there?
Because you live there, man. You're even as a non-citizen, there are plenty of embassy employees in D.C. that are residents of Washington, D.C., whether or not they would have the legal right to vote in a federal election, because that's a different standard set constitutionally.
But it's the same concept, though, whether it's a national.
Well, you're not going to rewrite the Constitution.
Why not? If you accept the fact that non-citizens who may own land and engage in commerce and, you know, be contributing citizens to their local municipalities, that that's a something they decide to do. And I would agree, if the locals want that, then they should absolutely do that. But why would you not? What is it about that particular issue and them voting in the municipal elections that you would not? Would you advocate for non-citizens voting in federal national elections?
I didn't make that advocacy, and that again is established by the U.S. Constitution, which would take 2/3 of the Senate and the House to change. That's never going to happen.
Change the Constitution, but would you advocate for it? Do they not have the same right then, Michael? The same logic applies locally, in a municipal election, as it would on a federal election. I mean, everything aside, is there any limiting factor that you would suggest? No, they shouldn't do it on a federal level.
Well, the U.S. Constitution is the one I keep bringing to your attention, but you don't seem to have qualms with that.
Okay, so then let me ask you the question. Do you think we should change the U.S. Constitution to allow non-citizens to vote?
I don't think there would be an appetite to change the U.S.
Constitution. I'm asking you if there. Do you have the appetite for that, Michael?
And I'm straightly not answering your question, Mr. Salvia. I advocate for changing the U.S. Constitution to broaden this ability of people to vote as non-citizens? No, I do not. I don't think there would be a constitutional appetite to push it through the Congress. Certainly, we wouldn't get any Republican support. Look at the aforementioned Brian Stile. So I'm trying to be realistic here. In a municipality, and this...
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
But if you lived here, they wanted you to vote here. And I'm not clear why we...
...was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's matchingdonors.com. Matchingdonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit matchingdonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. Matchingdonors.com.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
What if we, as a local community, made this decision for our local municipality? Would that stand up in the state of Wisconsin, do you think? Or would Robin Voss and the team lose their freaking mind? They're not down for local control here, Dom.
Well,
they've demonstrated that.